See what you get when you come for me. See what you get when you come. See what you get when you come for me. See what you get when you come. Way down that lonely road, that's where you walk into. I said way down that lonely road, trouble's gonna find you. There, after a ghost, that's what you are. Makes no difference what you say. After a ghost, that's what you are. No other warning.
And here we go. Okay. There we are. Hello, hello, hello. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Wherever you're at. This is Pastor Justin Pierce. Want to welcome everybody to our evening devotional. We'll welcome everybody this evening. We've been out enjoying the weather and enjoying ourselves today. And I want to give it just a minute to let a couple people get on. And really hope you guys are having a blessed day, a wonderful day, that you're able to get out and enjoy this beautiful day. I hope it's a beautiful day where you're at and that you're not stuck inside and that you're enjoying the day that the Lord has made. You know, the scripture tells us, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, and we do have a lot of things to be grateful for. We have some concerns, you know, some things going on in this world that should concern us. But praise the Lord, we do have, you know, a lot of things to rejoice in and thank God for. And, you know, for me personally, it's being blessed to have a godly family, godly wife, just a wonderful marriage, blessing in that way. I am very grateful for that. Well, it's about 3 minutes in. We've got a few people online, so let's go ahead and get started. Let's pray real quick, and we'll go ahead and read our scriptures. As I said, we're in Proverbs 31. We had to miss last night because of some things that were going on. And Proverbs 31, evening devotional. And I entitled this, The Wise King and the Excellent Wife. And so let's take a minute and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to come before you to glorify and exalt your name. Lord, our heart and our desire is to magnify and uplift you. Lord, it is our desire that we become wise in your eyes. That, Lord, we are biblically accurate. We are wise according to the scripture. We are not wise according to the wisdom of the world. And that we can seek after you with all of our hearts and trust in you. And that we can lift up and exalt your holy name. Lord, help us to be godly men and women. And help us to be excellent, wise, and worthy of your word. God, help us to hide your word in our hearts that we may not sin against you. For it's in Christ's holy name I pray, Lord. Amen. I pulled this little picture up, A Wise King and Excellent Wife, a marriage poem, because Proverbs 31 is, it's actually two separate poems together. And I actually did a sermon about this entire proverb from the perspective of Solomon, who's trying to teach his son. He's trying to give wisdom to his child. And I was thinking about going through that PowerPoint sermon and looking at it to see what it reveals from the scripture about God's mindset about marriage and his desire for pure marriages and godly marriages. And so I thought I'd take a little bit of time and just go quickly through this little PowerPoint. And as we read together the book of Proverbs, so give me just a second. I'll pull this up so that we can all partake in seeing this. Okay, share screen. The share screen thing is a wonderful feature. If you don't have StreamYard, I would suggest that you look into it if you're a ministry or if you're looking to serve the Lord in an audio field, video field. You're making YouTube and Facebook and all the other media. If you're making all those, I would suggest you really look into that. One thing just before I get too far. Yeah, we're doing this. Yes, there we go. All right. Okay. So, but as I said, I entitled this Wise King and an Excellent Wife, and it's about a marriage poem because Solomon was teaching his children about the concept of a godly man and an excellent wife, and the fact that there is no greater covenant within humanity than the marriage covenant. Now, God's covenant with his people, it, we see it in two separate ways. God says that Israel is his wife, and he has covenanted with her to be their husband and his wife. And he's called Israel his wife in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah and Isaiah 54. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. That's pretty specific. The God of the universe is declaring that he is the husband of Israel, and Israel is his wife. He's not going to lose her. He's not going to be unfaithful to her. He's going to be hers, and she is his. And even if he has to deal with her in the way that he had to deal with Israel, there's promise a time when he's going to come back, bring her back to himself, and renew her to himself. The Bible also tells us that the church of God is the betrothed of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5:21 tells us that we are submitting to one another. This is talking about marriage and biblical marriages. That we are submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And Ephesians 5:25-33, it tells us about what that relationship looks like. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands, listen to that, in the same way, as that exact prototype, you be in the word. Now this is a message for kings, for men, for the king of your castle. Men, listen closely. Your duty as a husband is to guide your wife and your children in holiness and be able to present them to the Lord in sanctification. That's your duty. That's your requirement. That's your job, to present the truth of the Word of God and to train up your godly families, to pray for them and to love them. You know, it says submitting to one another. You know, there's this concept that wives are to submit to their husbands, and there's that, even if it's heavy-handed, you submit. Well, this tells us in 5:21 that the first duty is for husbands and wives to be mutually in submission to one another and understanding their roles, understanding what they're supposed to be doing. And then we see, husbands, are you to love your wife as Christ loved the church. He laid himself down for the church. He gave himself up. He put away all of his pride, all of his position, all of his authority, all of his prestige. He put away everything for her. And he gave himself to her, and he gave himself completely, totally, even to the point of death. He was willing to die for her. He lived for her. He taught her. He raised her up. He protected her. He provided for her. He did everything that was necessary. And it says in verse 26, that he might sanctify her. Ladies, the greatest thing you could ever have is a husband who loved you enough that he wanted you to be holy, that he wants you to be godly, that he's willing to tell you that you're, you know, sinning, that you're in error, that you need to stop what you're doing and evaluate yourself. And the greatest thing you can do as a God-honoring person is to listen to that. You know, reproof, rebuke and correction, training in righteousness is for everyone. You know, husbands, that's your duty. That's your job. It's also your duty and job to receive correction as you submit to one another. So don't be too proud to think you don't need to be corrected from time to time. You know, but it says here that the duty of a husband is that he might sanctify her and cleanse her by the washing of the water of the word. Your job is to be in the word, studying the word of God, to be fellowshipping in the word of God, and always presenting God and the God of the word to her. Doctrine and theology and sanctification and speaking in words of righteousness and lifting up and elevating of truth and holiness, that is the job of every husband. And it's the duty of every wife to want that and desire that. And now here's what you got to understand. Your job is not, husbands, your job is not to be a pastor. It may not be being a theologian as far as having the doctrinal degrees and everything else. But you can be a theologian in the word and study and know the word. You know, you may have the wisdom of, you know, Solomon, but you may also not. You may be, you know, just a simple folk type guy, and you're doing your very best to know the word of God and studying it. And that is still your duty, to the very best of your ability, to present the truth of the word of God. And ladies, honor that. You know, you might say, well, I think I know more. Praise God, you know more. And you can interject and you can help talk about things, and you can have discussions about things. And that's great. But at the end of the day, it's his job to study to show himself approved. It's his job to be a strong and faithful witness. It's his job to present the true word of God the best he can under sound leadership and sound discipleship. You know, and that is his job for the family to do that. And the whole point is the washing of the word. When we, I mean, the scripture is not so unclear. You know, so everybody says, well, I have my own opinion. That's what it means to me. Or you know, you're reading it differently because of this context or that context. The Bible tells us that God is not the God of confusion. And the scripture is very clear. Now, there are some points, you know, we don't know the day or the hour the Lord's going to return, but we know the concept and we understand, you know, the nature of it. We understand what the scripture tells us about the second coming and the rapture and the, you know, and all of these things. And we understand that the Bible is clear, and there's a historical understanding and a grammatical way that we can study the word of God. And we have sound teachers throughout the generations. So we're not just left to ourselves. We have godly people who can teach us in God's word. And that is the duty of every husband, to seek to do that. And the whole point is so that you might he might present the church to himself in splendor. Did you realize that, husbands, you're going to give an account for how you've raised up your wife and your children? Ladies, you're going to give an account for your you know, everything about your character and your demeanor and your conduct as well. But it is the husband's duty and responsibility to be the chief priest of his home. His job was to study. Now, remember the other day we talked about the Proverbs 1 through 30 woman, and we talked about how Satan went to Eve. He went to Eve because God had established Adam as the authority, as the theological teacher, and his job was to present God to Eve, and he messed up. Satan comes along and says, has God said you cannot even eat this, you know, fruit? You can't even touch it? You know, you can't eat it? And she goes, well, we can have any tree we want to, but we can't eat or touch this tree. That's not what God said. God said, you can't eat the fruit, because if you do, you'll die. He didn't say anything about touching it. I've said this before. They could have made a jungle gym out of it. They could have made a treehouse out of it. They could have burned it down. They could have done anything they wanted to. They just couldn't eat the fruit. And she was taught wrong. She was taught about God the wrong way from a husband who did not lead well. And she became the leader of her home. She became the spiritual authority of her home. She became the one that had the quote-unquote light of truth in her home. It tells us that God's desire is to present the church to himself without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Then it says, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wives, sorry, my neighbors decided to mow right beside me right now. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. And the whole point here is, if you love yourself, you're not going to want to give yourself false teaching and false doctrine. You're not going to want to hurt yourself in false theologies and things like that. You're not going to want to give yourself rotten food or anything else that would hurt yourself. So you love your wife enough because you think of her as your own flesh. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. You're one flesh, and your desire is to raise her up in godliness. And he says in verse 32, this mystery is profound, and I am saying to you that this refers to Christ and the church. His bride, the church, is what it's referring to. Malachi 2:16, you know, we find out that in Malachi that God really, really hates the idea of divorce. He does not want divorce with his people. He says, I, the Lord, I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So guard your heart and do not be unfaithful to your wife. Don't look for other women. Don't look for other positions. Don't look for anything else. Look to your wife as that part of your body that you can't live without, that part of your body that you cherish and you grow and you need. You want to be a wise king in your home, a wise king in the world, then you be wise in the scripture and you be wise in the word. You train up godly women. You know, Solomon was the wisest king who ever lived, and yet he was taught wisdom from his mom and dad. His father taught his mother, and they taught their son. They together were collectively working together. They weren't fighting together. The mom didn't say, well, I don't agree with this doctrinal position. I want to argue about this. And the husband didn't say, well, you're too ignorant to know. No, they sat down together and they reasoned through the scripture. They reasoned through the word of God. They studied the word of God and they trusted the Lord to help them guide their children in holiness. He was granted wisdom by God. And yet when he wrote this, he wrote pleading because he knew that he found wisdom the hard way. He found wisdom through a lot of problems in his life, a lot of hardship. Now, if we look at Proverbs 31, let's read this together. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. You hear that? It starts out by saying it's a speaking or a word of truth that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to those who are perishing and wine in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Open wide your mouth for the mute and the rights of the destitute. Open your mouth, righteous, or judge righteously. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with her hands, works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchants. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and the portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arm strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for her household will be clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen, purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them as she delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the times to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom and teaches of kindness on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Listen to verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. That message right there was from my wife. Charm and deceit. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. You know, Lemuel, in the book of Proverbs here, is a Jewish tradition, says it's actually King Solomon as a young boy. Talking about the one who actually taught this to Lemuel was his own mother, who taught this to him in the form of an excellent or a wise king, verses 2 through 9, and an excellent wife from 10 to 31. Not only was King Solomon very serious about teaching his son, not only was he very serious about it and how to the proper way to be a king, but he was also worried about seeing to it that he knew how to find an excellent wife. And for every single man out there, young man out there, you need to know how to be a godly man. And that comes through sound discipleship and mentoring. That comes through the sound truth of those who would teach you the right path and teach you the right way to go. One of the things that I think is very needed is strong mentorship, is strong leaders who will raise up godly men and godly women in this world. Men and women that will not be afraid to stand up in truth and stand up with righteousness. Men and women that are going to be glad to proclaim truth to those who would need to hear it. And that is especially true for our young children, those that need to hear wisdom. You know, one thing that I think is a blessing upon, I'm just saying, one thing I think is a blessing upon children is having strong mentors, strong leaders, those that care enough about them that they truly want to see them blessed, and they truly want to see them have a great blessing in their lives. And that's what Solomon wanted for his children. He wanted his son to be raised up in godliness and holiness. He wanted his son to be a man of purity. He also wanted his son to have a godly wife. Now, one thing that we have to be very careful of is that we raise up our children in holiness and we desire for them that they have godly offspring. The exhortation from Lemuel is a young prince, and it's to take heed of the sins that would tempt him, that would drive him to wickedness and to sin. It's not for kings to be drunkards. It describes various different types of women. It talks about relationships. Let me pull this back up again. There we are. Let me pull this back up. Okay. It's talking about various types of women, especially in the relationships to a wife, and the mistress of a family. And it's not talking about a mistress in a bad way, but a woman of God who is to be the authority in the family, the female authority in the family. You know, husbands and wives, we are co-equal partners. You know, father and mother, we're co-equal partners in an understanding relationship that we want the best for our families. We want to raise up godly men and women, godly children in our homes. I'm going to jump on past this quickly. 1 Peter 3:7 tells us, husbands likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with the weaker vessel. For she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, or in the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Men, listen to me. Your wife, and ladies, listen to me. Your husband, you guys are together, and you're heirs of a grace of life. There is nothing in life that is greater than being married to a godly man and a godly woman. One that knows that he wants to raise up and secure the mind and thinking of his wife for her best spiritual, moral, and physical good. You know, and a wife that loves her husband, desires to be with her husband, desires to be a part of that marriage in unity. She's not looking for anything else under the sun. She's not looking for another man, not looking for a fling. She wants to raise up a godly husband by calling him out to leadership and by encouraging him to be a strong leader in his home and around the society that they live in. You know, you think about it. The old saying, behind every good man is a great woman, is true. Behind every good king and every wise king is an excellent wife, is a wife of great nobility and understanding, and knows how to encourage and bring up godly men, you know, both from children's perspectives and from the perspective of a husband and wife. It says here in 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, live with your wife in understanding. You have to understand their emotional state, their physical state, their spiritual state, and what they need, how they can grow and how they should grow in holiness, how they should grow in godliness. And the, you know, when you're talking about live with your wife in understanding, if you go to Ephesians, it tells us, husbands, love your wives, and wives, honor your husbands. And here's why. Husbands have a tendency to look towards the fortitude and the strength, and not be as outgoing emotionally and with that loving spirit that many women need. Okay? And so they'll forget to show that loving grace and that loving understanding of the emotional, the spiritual, the physical needs of a lady. Flowers is great, but honor and respect and tenderness and, you know, devotion is even better, right? So you have to understand their spiritual state and the state of their heart and the state of their conscience and the state of their emotion. It's not just understanding, oh, well, she's just a woman. It's understanding that she is a woman of God, right? As the weaker vessel, for she is a woman. God made her feminine. God made her beautiful. God made her sensitive and emotional. You know, there's nothing for me that I love more than watching my wife as she's watching a video from our children when they were little, or she's watching something that's tenderhearted, you know, and as she's watching it, she starts tearing up and crying, and she'll just look at me. She'll say, "Stop looking at me." And she knows it's a display of her affection and her heart and the tenderness that God placed in her that she just exudes a motherly emotion, a womanly emotion towards the things that are tender in the world. And I love it. I think it's beautiful. You know, the way that she treats my children and the way that she treats our family. And, you know, as she's growing to understand her position and her role, she's growing in that desire to raise up sensitive, godly, caring individuals. And as I've said before, ladies have the ability to shift and guide the entire world because of the way that we raise up godly children, or don't. It goes on and it says this, as I said in Ephesians 3, wives, submit to your husbands, submit yourself to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Now listen to that passage. Wives, submit to your husbands because they deserve it, because they've met your qualifications, because they did something for you, because they're stronger than you, because of blah, blah, blah. That's not what it says. Submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. You're submitting yourself to the Lord first. And God has established this way for a husband and wife to be married together that is a representation of the Trinity here on earth. You have the Spirit of God living inside of you, and husband and wives as Christ in the church. You have the submission that you see in the Trinity right here in marriage. It's not perfect, but it's a very good display. It's of Christ and his church. There are so many spiritual displays about marriage and what marriage is. Husbands, your duty is to love your wife. It's a job. It's a duty. You say, well, I'm not in love with my wife. Okay, too bad. Go love her anyway. Well, go love her anyway. As I just told you, wives, your job is not to submit to your husbands as long as he meets your perfect standard. Well, I'm not going to submit to him if he does this and does this and does this. If he fails here, I'm not going to. Who made you the judge? Christ is the judge over these men. He's the one that's going to correct them. He's going to be the ultimate perfect judge. God is going to judge us for everything we've ever done. Everything we've ever done. He's also going to judge you. Ladies, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Ladies, it's your job to submit to your husbands. Men, it's your job to love your wife. You say, but I don't feel like it. I like somebody else, or I like this, or I like that. Too bad. Love is not an emotion. It's a duty. It's a job. Get to it. You determine to love someone. You don't walk up to somebody just off the street and just look at them and just pour out gushing emotion all over them. Oh, I just love you. And you can't control yourself the rest of your life. That's one of those magic potions that you get from the witch over in the woods. This is talking about a duty prescribed by God. Love is not an emotion. It's a duty prescribed by God of the will. You submit your will to God to love her and to raise her up. But my wife is this way, that way, this way. She acts this way. She behaves this way. How are you behaving towards her? Because 9 times out of 10, a lady will react to the way she's treated in her marriage. Are you raising her up in godliness? Are you teaching her the word of God? Are you studying to show yourself approved? Are you praying for her? Are you speaking to her as we just said, as we just read here? Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Are you speaking to her in the way that she needs to hear, the things that she needs to hear in her life about godliness and holiness, even correction done in a loving, gracious way, even telling her about, you know, an error that she may be in or whatever else, not constantly because she's your equal, and you need to be very careful on how you do that, but you do need to do that, okay? But do that with under the authority of God, not under your own authority, from the scripture. You know, that when people tell you that you're wrong in the scripture, what do you say to them? Can you please show me? Okay, the same thing applies here to your wife. Sweetheart, I see here in the scripture, the Bible says this, and know, I want to be sensitive here, and I understand, but I want you to understand this is what the scripture says, and I don't think you're doing that this way. I think you're failing here or something. Maybe you need to examine this on how you're doing. That's a gracious, kind word. And if your wife has the Spirit of God living her, it will affect her. It will cause her to listen. She will grow, especially when you're living with her in the Word and praying to her and giving her the truth. You're being gracious and kind to her. What woman in the world does not want a husband that loves and cares for her? What woman in the world doesn't want a husband that is gracious and kind and considerate to her and wants her to be the best woman she can be? If I brought my wife on here right now, I'll guarantee you, she would tell you in a moment that she wants me to be a husband that leads and loves and cares and gives emotional stability and support to her, that listens to her. Okay? I don't know a woman alive that would hate that. I don't know why a woman would. And that's what God says. He says to walk with your wife in an understanding way, to live with her in a way of understanding. That's what an excellent king is about. An excellent king is one that knows how to lead his kingdom well. And men, whether or not you are living in an apartment or on the side of a road or in a mansion, your kingdom is the one that God has given you, and your queen needs you to lead well. You start at home. Your authority starts at home. Your leadership starts at home. And she is your queen. She is the one betrothed to you from Almighty God. And he's given you a queen, and she wants to be treated. She deserves to be treated that way, not because of how well she functions, not because of how holy she is or how good she is, but because we serve a great and mighty God. And he is worthy of all the praise. It is the duty of mothers as well as fathers to teach their children what is good, that they may do it, and to teach them what is evil, that they may avoid it. When they are young and tender, they are mostly under their mother's eye, their mother's care. And she has then the opportunity of molding and fashioning their minds as well, which she ought not to let slip. Even kings must be chastened. The greatest of men is less than the least in the ordinances of God. And those who have not grown up into maturity should often call to mind and make mention of the good instruction that they received when they were children for their own admonition and edification of others, and to the honor of those All right, give me just a second. I apologize for that. This is a note that came from Calvin, and I wanted to make sure that, you know, I got the quote on there. Verse 1 through 9 talks about King Lemuel, and it gives us, what are you doing, my son? What are you doing, the son of my womb? And it's the mother teaching her son, because she is an excellent wife. She is an excellent mother, and she wants to teach her son to be a king of honor and godliness. And don't let this escape you, ladies. The world says, feminism says, that the greatest thing you can do is exert your rights as a strong woman. You need to have equal rights. Okay. Equal rights on one thing is good. But, you know, in feminism, equality doesn't mean equality. There are very few women that want to be, you know, have the equal rights to be, you know, a plumber or in the sewer industry. They don't want to be down in the sewers. They want to be up in the, you know, in the skyscrapers. They want to be kings of industry and presidents and leaders and whatnot. They don't want to have the lowly positions and be king of a sewer or king of the trash cans. Okay. So while there are women that do that, the vast majority are men that do those things. But I want you to look and pay attention. In Proverbs 31, right off the bat, the mother of Lemuel was teaching her son, who is going to be the king. Ladies, you have within your power to train up godly men and women of the next generations to be kings of those industries and queens of all of society, and be men and women of leadership from a spiritual, godly level. You have the power within your hands to raise up godly families and to raise up generation after generation of holiness and godliness. That's amazing. That's a wonderful truth. It's a wonderful privilege. You know, in talking about the qualities of an excellent wife, listen to what it says here in verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? You understand that finding an excellent wife is hard? You can't just jump after every lady that says hi. You have to be, you know, discerning. You have to be prayerful. You have to be one who will shun everything except for God's standard for what an excellent wife is. And ladies, you need to be an excellent wife, an excellent woman, in order to be an excellent wife. She's far more precious than jewels. You are so rare that go around digging in any hole and say, there she is. It takes work and it takes effort and it takes a long time to find a jewel that's worthy. And it takes a long time to find a wife that's worthy. The heart of her husband trusts in her. I know a lot of husbands, I know a lot of wives that their husband or their wife has absolutely failed and they've destroyed their marriages, and the husband or the wife cannot trust in the truthfulness and the veracity and the loyalty and the love and the faithfulness of their spouse. And you know, when I first met Diane, my wife, I was one of those jealous guys. And I thought, you know, well, no man should be looking at her and everything else. And it took me a little while, but I finally realized that my wife is excellent. She's excellent. She doesn't go running around looking at other men. She is faithful, and I can trust her. I trust my wife implicitly, 100%. There's nothing about my wife that I don't trust. I trust her completely. She's always going to tell me the best. She's always going to try to guide and try to help me. She's always going to try to give me a good word. She's always a blessing to me. She's always going to be faithful. I don't ever worry about her running off with somebody else. I know her because I know her spirit. I know her faithfulness, her loyalty to God. And she is excellent. Listen to what it says. He will have no lack of gain. I have no lack of gain in my heart for my love for her. And I know that I can express my love for my wife, and she is worthy of it. She is worthy of it. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. I know that there'll never be a day when my wife tries to hurt me. She seeks wool and flax and works with her willing hands. An excellent wife is not lazy. She's not one of those cows of Bashan where she's just laying around wanting to waste money. Potiphar's wife who's just laying around looking for her next conquest. You know, she doesn't want to sit there all day long and go through P90X and CrossFit and everything else and want to be a supermodel and show off her body to everybody. She has to get online. She has to get on social media and have, you know, her half-naked body with her sports bra and, oh, look at me and all this other stuff. Look at me and go into stores, you know, with see-through britches on and everything else and run into stores wanting everybody to see her. That's not the excellent wife. The excellent wife is concerned about her house and the future of her family and the stability of their finances. And she's willing to, and I know this people, that when you talk about the position of a woman that she must be staying at home, this Proverbs 31 woman, she stays at home and works abroad. She's a bivocational mother, wife. You know, her job is at home, but her job is also storing up food and working hard and providing provision. And she's selling and she has industry. She has merchandise. She's not afraid of hard work. And brothers and sisters, you know, you can say a lot for this, you know, one person economy and two person economy and everything else. And I agree with everything that everybody would say on it. It is great if your wife can stay at home, but in certain situations, even if she's staying at home, I know a lot of ladies that are staying at home that are making a lot of money as a at-home mom who are just killing it financially, being a blessing to their family. She rises while it's yet night, provides for her food, for a household, and a portion for her maidens. All those people that are working for her, she's working for her, by the way, she's a boss, okay? She's got people working for her, and she's a boss. She considers a field, she buys it. In other words, she's looking around and being industrious. She's concerned with property. I almost said real estate, but you know, she's not a realtor in that sense, but she considers the value of property and the value of the financial income that she can get. She considers a field, she buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. In other words, she's a hard worker and she's not afraid of it. And she dresses herself with strength and makes her arm strong. In other words, she's not a coward. She's not a weakling. She's strong. She cares about her children. She trains them up. She cares about her husband. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. She does everything she needs to do to be a blessing to herself, her family, and her husband. She puts her hands to the distaff and holds up the spindle. She opens her hands to the poor. In other words, she's generous and she's kind and gracious. A wise woman builds her home. In Proverbs 14, it says, but a foolish woman tears it down. See the difference? The foolish woman destroys, the wise woman builds. The qualities of an excellent wife is that they are rare. They're hard to find. She is trustworthy. She promotes the family wealth in all things. She always seeks the good of her husband. She works hard to ensure the family's needs are met. She ensures the family is fed. She understands the value of money, and she seeks to invest on her for her family's future. She's not fleeting. She's like not this fleeting princess, and she's glad to work for her family. She's not lazy. She delights in doing work to the betterment of her family. I want to look at one more thing real quick. Verse 23 says this: her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Think about what that says. Men, there's a movie called In Harm's Way, and it was put out in the 50s. It might be the early 60s. John Wayne did it, and the opening is talking about, it's talking about Pearl Harbor, and there's this scene where there's this woman who's dancing around and acting kind of like a tramp. You know, she's acting very inappropriate. But she's married, and she hates her husband, and her husband's in the military, and he's got a position of rank in the military. And she's at this military party, and everybody sees it and sees how vile she is and how disgusting she is as she's throwing her body at all these different men. And there's this military guy who's more than happy to jump in there and dance with her and go be with her inappropriately. And she's married. And all the men and all the women look at her, and they talk about how worthless of a husband he must be and how disgusting he must be and how vile he must be as a husband because of how worthless and vile and disgusting she is. The Proverbs 31 woman, the one who is rare, the worthy, excellent wife, the one who is of more value than any man can imagine, who does good for her husband because of how great she is and how good she is, because of her beauty in the community. The community even looks at her husband and says, He has to be the greatest man on earth. Listen to what it says. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. In other words, because of her qualities, he is known as a worthwhile, wise, and godly man. Because of her qualities. It's because she cares about holiness and she cares about wisdom and godliness, and she walks with the Lord, and he cares about her and her spiritual walk, and he pours into her. They're mutually raising up one another. They're lifting up and elevating one another, and the world sees this beautiful family. Verse 28, talking about her. Listen to what it says. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Listen to me. There is nothing better on earth than to have children that love their mother, that love and cherish their mom, and they brag about how wonderful mom is, and they can honestly say it, about a mom that is caring and loving and gracious and kind, about one that is excellent and worthy to be a wife and a mother. Today we need that. Today we need that type of person. And I pray that you are that woman. I pray that you find that woman. I pray that that woman is someone that in your life, you have that mentor, you have that model, and you want to be that type of person. The Bible tells us that if we will ask the Lord for anything, as long as it's in the will of God, he will give it to us. My prayer is for you that you will consider what we talked about. And we went through quickly. If you want the full sermon, it's on sermon audio. Consider what we just talked about. We just took a few minutes, a little bit of time out of this day, and we considered the Proverbs 31 woman, the excellent wife, the wise husband, the wise king, who looks after and looks for a godly woman and knows how to find her and cherish her. Men, cherish your wives. Raise them up and honor them. Lift them up and elevate them as the queen of your home. Ladies, be worthy of the praise, the exaltation, the love, the honor. I hope you guys have a wonderful evening, that God will bless every moment of your day, that God will bless you and keep you, that the Lord will strengthen you, that he will multiply blessing upon blessing upon you, and that if you do not have a wife or a husband that is of worth and value, and you haven't found that one yet, that God will bless you with a wonderful, excellent husband and a wonderful, excellent wife as you listen to this preaching and this teaching, as you go through and you try to raise yourself up and be elevated to be worthy as a godly husband and godly wife. Pray this is a blessing to you. Hope you have a wonderful evening. God bless you and have a good night.